In Psalm 127, as we read that, we saw what God had to say about children, and sometimes it's not something that we really take and comprehend and apply to our hearts and to our lives and our families. When he talks about children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward, and talks about children being a blessing, we don't think of that when we have something like this happen. Mrs. Salzberger, of the newspaper dynasty, was bidding a granddaughter goodnight one evening, and the child remarked, "Mommy and Daddy are entertaining some very important people downstairs." Well, Mrs. Salzberger was really amazed at how perceptive this her granddaughter was, and said, "You're right. How did you know?" And the granddaughter said, "Well, just listen. Mommy's laughing at all of Daddy's jokes." Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that God gave you children as a blessing and to be a blessing. And it's hard to remember that many times when things are not going well. We find that Psalm 127, it begins saying a song of ascents there in the title, starting from Psalm 120 all the way to 134 are the songs of ascent. And these were songs that were sung by the Jews as they were going up to Jerusalem. There is a Jewish tradition that the 15 stairs that was part of the court that went from the men's to the women's court, from the women's to the men's court, the women at that time were not allowed into the men's court of the temple, that those 15 stairs is where those 15 psalms would be sung. So there's a little bit of difference of opinion. Some would say as they're going up to Jerusalem, some would say as they are approaching the temple. This psalm is sung, and it's by Solomon. If you have a King James Version, it might say for Solomon. The word is for or of, but it's always translated as of David. So I would assume that the New King James and others are correct by saying of Solomon. And his message is very similar to his message in the book of Ecclesiastes. He begins in verses 1 and 2 and talks about God must build a house. And same with the city. In a city, you have to have God involved. Last night, the singers, Faith Baptist Bible College singers, were singing some national songs, the national hope that America has. And when America puts God back into its society, then you will see tremendous godly changes. But until then, they will not. And when God is not in the center of your home, He's not the center of the city, of the country, not that the religion runs the nation, they're distinct, but when there's God-fearing people running and wanting to do what God says is right, then you see good things happen. Here in verse 2 it says that your labor that you do is going to be worthless. You work from before the sun goes up to late in the night. And what good is it if God's not part of it? There's a family, God is a special part. The fact that He's the one that produces, He's the one that gives children. There's so many, I read as many as a million couples that were looking to adopt. They could not have children. There's infertility in the marriage somehow. And so there are many people, according to one source, a million, another said half a million, that people are there wanting to have children and cannot. Children are a blessing from God. One and one can make three, but unless God's involved, it's not all going to work out right. Children are a blessing from God. And we need to see that. It says, behold, here in verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. In verse 5, happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. Some have taken that verse 5 and said, see, you have to have lots and lots of children. And I like what one of my professors says in seminary. He said after their first child, their quiver got a lot smaller. And then when they had their second child, they had filled that quiver up. That quiver is that piece that holds the arrows. There's nothing wrong with not having 18 children. And some people, some families, that's what they decide to do. Some they do not. But we have to remember that God gave you children as a blessing and to be a blessing. We find that the children are a blessing from God. We have a hard time with that sometimes though, because the fact is it costs a lot to have children. An extraordinary amount. It costs time. They are a 24/7 responsibility. It's not like going to visit some of our grandparents. You can go visit or have your grandkids over, buy them noisy toys, and send them home. You can do that. Because you know the parents are the one that has to listen to that noisy toy 24/7. It does cost considerable time to have children. And that being the case, it also includes personal time. You know, being married, Don and I don't do near the things we used to do before we had children. Why? We'd go to a movie, we'd go out to eat, we'd have all kinds of fun together. Now our fun is constructed differently. And it centers around the children. Why? Because it's our responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's our responsibility. God gave us these children. And they're a blessing, even though they take a lot of time. Not only that, they cost money. It's interesting watching my children at the dinner table. We have to force feed Veronica. She eats like a mouse. She just nibbles on her food. The other ones, though, they eat like lions, and they devour everything in sight, as long as it looks like it's going to taste good. And it costs money for food, for clothing, for activities. It costs money. It costs effort. It costs considerable effort with children. You sleep at night sometimes. Isn't it interesting? You lose sleep when they're babies because they get you up at night. And then when they become teenagers, we're not in this phase yet, but when they become teenagers, especially upper teenagers, and they're out with a group of kids or something like that, you're up late at night again, up making sure that they get home safe. It takes real labor and frustration sometimes to raise children. It costs peace. There's some days you just want to tell them, all right, sometimes we do. Go find a book. It's wild in here, especially in the wintertime. They get antsy for being outside. It costs peace, costs property. They're good at destroying things sometimes. What sort of blessing can that be if that's all true? Those of you that have children, you know these things are true. If you have grandchildren, you know, sometimes that's true in your relationship with your kids. How can they really be a blessing? Well, the text here itself lends itself to say that they help protect the home. They help protect the home and help in the city as a blessing that way. We also know that children are a lot of company. When I was sick there a couple weeks ago, it was kind of nice to have company. Veronica thought it was great that I was home. In fact, the Friday I said, well, I think we go to church today. And she didn't want that. She wanted somebody to be there to entertain. It's kind of nice to have that company around and their friendship of your children and the love that they give and that you can give them. And we know they're more than entertaining, those children. And they can be very helpful. See, children are a blessing from God. And being a blessing, a heritage from God, also means we have responsibility. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we read, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. You see, children are a responsibility. They're a heritage. When you're given something handed down to you from your father or grandfather, it's a heritage. It's something that you want to take care of and then pass it on down to the next generation. My grandfather, he had a pendant. And that pendant, he had a jewel in it. It was something that was valuable, especially in the sense of it was something that he owned and passed down to his daughter. So my mom took it and had it reset into a necklace. She's not really going to wear a pendant. She didn't wear suits. And so she had it made into a necklace. It's something that she will hand down to whoever, one side or the other, the family, and that will be passed on down. It's something that's heritage. It's something that's given to you and you want to take good care of. Children are a gift that way that we need to take care of. It says here that they're a heritage, and a heritage is something we need to ideally pass on to the next generation. We have to understand, especially in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go. It is your responsibility to train your children. It is your responsibility. It is not the responsibility of the school. It is not the responsibility of the church. It's not the responsibility of the government. Those can be helpful tools. But as you look at the Bible, it is the parents' responsibility to see that their children are educated well, that they learn who God is and what God requires. They learn what God wants. It's their responsibility to train them to be involved in what's going on in the world around us. The best source for knowing not just your responsibility, but how to train your child is God's Word. That seems pretty obvious, but when you look at our nation, it is constantly pushing God out of everything. You cannot go to a school and have something about God on it, because it might offend somebody, and there's separation of church and state. You can barely take a Bible and have it open there. The Ten Commandments used to be up on the walls. What was wrong with knowing you should not kill, you should not steal, you should not lie, you should not commit adultery, you should not covet, you should honor your mother and your father? Apparently they're so wicked you can't have them in school because somebody might be offended by it. Where do those truths come from? From God. Therefore, you should have no other gods before Him. No graven images. Don't take His name in vain. And honor the Sabbath day. Back in the Old Testament law. Why? We see what's happened. We've decided that psychology is the best way to raise our children. And you find out the way our children have been raised. Do you know? How it affects society? Do you know how poorly raised children have become? Look at the adults that are in this nation. Because they are the children that were raised without God. Not all the adults, but many of them. We look at the decisions that schools make, that government makes, that families make. Used to be Sunday, nothing was open. in honor and respect of God. Even secular places, just to honor God. Used to be that when on Wednesdays nights was generally understood as Bible study night. There wouldn't be anything going on at schools. Now, everything happens on Sunday. And a lot of things on Wednesday as well. Not only this, we look around at our world and we see that it's okay to do things you never thought would be okay 100 years from ago. We were talking in Sunday school this morning, the men's Sunday school class. It used to be when you saw a married couple's bedroom on TV that they were two separate beds. That is a far cry from what it is now. Why? Because God was brought out and now those children are the ones in Hollywood. Those are the ones that are running the government and running the schools. Those are the ones that are making family home decisions of what's important and what's not important. It used to be that there's practically no such thing as a single parent. And now we have all kinds of them through different ways. God was pulled out of the family and our society shows it. Now our children that we worry about them going to school. Why? Because who knows what kind of kids they'll get involved with, the drugs and alcohol they'll be involved with, and the guns and knives they'll deal with. It used to be bubble gum was a problem. God is the best source for raising your children. If you want to know how to make children a blessing, they are a blessing, but then to raise them up to be a blessing, we have to be in God's Word. And we're going to look more specifically at that tonight, but here's some things to know as well. When we think of God being the best source for raising children, think about the relationship that He has with you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a very special relationship with God. John 1:12 says, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Children of God. In a universal sense, everybody's a child of God in the sense that God created Adam and Eve, and we're descendants of Adam and Eve. But there is no real relationship we have with Him until we recognize our own sinfulness and come to Him humbly and ask His forgiveness and for His salvation. We have that special relationship with God, and when you look at the way God handles His people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you learn about discipline. You learn about consistency. You learn about forgiveness and mercy. You learn the need to guide and direct and to instruct just by looking at the Scriptures and seeing the relationship that you have or should have with God. Another way that we see that God is the best source for raising His children is His instruction to you. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture, all 66 books right here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness." Doctrine, knowing who God is and what He wants, what's right and wrong. Reproof, for being told and corrected. Correction, being made, how to be made right before God. And then instruction in righteousness, how to continue to walk in a way that honors God. The Bible needs to be, is your textbook for parenting. There's many others out there. And if you go and you look at all the parenting books there are, you're going to find conflict after conflict. One person will say this, the other one will say that doesn't work, you have to do this. Another person will say, well, that doesn't really work, you have to do this. How is it that any of that really produces any fruit? There's some basic truths that you might get out of there, but if you really want to know what do I have to do to raise my children, it's right here in black and white. Learn God's Word and teach it to your children as well. Along with that, God's examples to you. When we look at the Bible, we see a number of examples of parent-child relationships. In the Old Testament, sadly, a lot of them are negative. You have an example in Genesis 27. We have the problem of favoritism. Having your favorite child, you know, I work real hard, at making sure that none of my children gets any special treatment just because that's who they are. Sometimes it's hard at the moment because, you know, they're cuddling up in your lap and so you want to be special nice to them. Or somebody else will do something real nice for you and you want to show your appreciation to them. But in the end, they're all for my children. And I'm going to do my best because I do love them all. I love them for their uniqueness. And I'm going to strive that I'm determined that I will not show favoritism one over the other. Just because I like the one child over the other, I'm going to do this. No, that's not going to happen. You know what? I saw what happened with Esau and Jacob. It caused great hardship. Showing favoritism that way causes nothing but trouble. In the book of Proverbs especially, we find positive examples. We find the positive examples of Solomon. He's writing to his son 27 times in the book of Proverbs. It says, "My son." It's instruction of a dad to his son. The collection of wisdom sayings. But we have to keep in mind, Solomon has collected and written Proverbs for the sake of training his child. When we read through there, we find a lot of truths that really hits us. We need to change in our own lives or need to do. Solomon is writing, he says, "Look, son, this is what I want for you." And we see the example that he is giving by training his son. So we have from God three examples for us to follow concerning him in raising our blessings. His relationship with us, his instruction to us, and his examples to us. Now, we go on here and we look at Psalm 127, verse 4. It says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Think of a man that has an arrow, a mighty warrior, and he's an expert with the bow and arrow. Some of the hunters, if you ever use bow and arrow for hunting. A person like me who doesn't know a lot about archery, when I was up camp and we had archery years ago, we had a small archery course up there, and I was always excited because about twice every year I would get a bullseye. Out of lots and lots of tries. So you know how expert I was. But a master with a bow and arrow, those hunters that go out there, they know how to handle their bow and the arrows and how to adjust everything so that way they will hit the target consistently. Arrows in my hand is dangerous, more for me than anybody else. But in an expert, those arrows are the deadly weapon. Children are not to be a deadly weapon, but the picture there is the fact that an expert knows what to do with what they have. You are that expert as a parent. Yes, you're only a parent, you know, it's your first time being a parent of, in our case, a 12-year-old coming up. But using God's word, what a magnificent, mighty tool they are for God. They're a mighty tool for the family. Here, it's relationship in the family. Being able to, one, it brings happiness, but being able to go to the gates, go to the where the judgment is. Judgments took place in the gates and political stuff there. And the children were able to go and handle themselves there. A lot of our children have a hard time handling themselves anywhere. Especially get them cooped up very long. They just got to get out. But as we train our children in the family, they will add character and contribute to the goals of the family as that family is seeking to honor God. They'll make a great contribution, a mighty tool for God Himself. They will grow up serving God in a tremendous way. Whether perhaps a full-time ministry or maybe not. Maybe they attend a church, but they're involved there. Also for society, they are the next employers and employees, congressmen, presidents, parents. There's an old adage which says, the way the family goes is the way that society goes. And we see that clearly in our day. We need to observe and not take for granted that our children are a blessing from God. Some days they don't seem like it, but they are. And on top of that, being a heritage from God, we need to take care of that. We need to do so by training them up. Tonight, even looking at the fact of discipline and consistency, the fact that how can I deal with my children in such a way that, one, I'll be able to not pull all the hair out of my head. A little late for me, right? Pull all the hair out of my head. And help them prepare for becoming the young men and women of the next of tomorrow. That they also may produce the next generation that will love and serve God. Children are a blessing from God. We need to remember that God gave you children as a blessing and to be a blessing. We need to do our part as parents, as grandparents. And tonight I'll address more as a church and involved in helping those parents. We are a mighty tool as a church to affect these kids. A lot of these kids that come, some that are coming in the morning, some that are coming on Tuesdays, we have the opportunity for a powerful effect on them. It's not us, it's God, but it's us working for God that way. Let's make sure that we see these as a blessing and do our part to raise them to be a blessing. Father, I ask that you would help us this morning, that we would grasp hold of the truth of these ones being a mighty blessing. I thank you for our children. I thank you for the children that we have in the church, church families. We thank you for the opportunity to minister to the children whose parents don't yet come to church. I ask that you would help us that we might be a profound influence on them, teaching them who you are, teaching them what's right, teaching them that they can honor you and serve you in a great way. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would use us in a mighty way for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.